Hi everybody and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name is Rob from robnanphoto.com and this is my little audio podcast about my wonderful journey through the fantastic world of photography. Excuse me for a second. I'm recording this week's podcast in our dining room and there's some rather posh clocks that my little wife Suzanne collects, but they've got very loud ticking noises, so if you can hear that in the background, my apologies. Also, you may well hear one of our PCs humming away in the background too, but the reason why I've got it on is so that I can do a quick review of the photos that people have taken for last month's photo assignment, which was taken during my break, and there's some great work there, so go through that and talk about next month's this month's photo assignment as well. I hope everybody's had a great week. I've had an interesting one, as ever, working hard at work. Been playing around with the cameras a little bit, it's not too much. Went to the car boots this morning at Bridgemary and Titchfield just before it started raining, and managed to pick up a camera with a lens and a few bits, and it called the Pentax Auto 110. Now, for listeners of the Film Photography Podcast, you may well have come across this camera before. It's the world's smallest interchangeable lens film camera, and I think it's the world's smallest SLR with lenses that you can change as well. It looks like a mini SLR. It really is amazing. The size, imagine a packet of cigarettes cut in half with a lens on the front. Really small, really cute. I mean, you can put the camera in the palm of your hand with the lens and the filter kit I've got as well. It was made by Pentax, I think in the late 70s through to the early 80s, as the ultimate 110 format camera. And 110 was a format introduced by Kodak, I think in 1972, and the idea was to come up with a simple format of film whereby you didn't need to worry about loading it with like leaders and things. It's basically a cartridge format, very small as well, so it can fit into small cameras. Great things were expected of 110, a bit like when APS came out. Was that in the 90s, is it? And people thought that it might replace 35mm. But unfortunately, due to the lack of quality of lots of the cameras that use 110 film, and the fact that it was a lot smaller negative than 35mm, which meant that if you've got a smaller negative, prints and enlargements tend to be grainier. Pretty soon, you know, by the early 80s and late 80s, it had pretty much started to die out as a format. And 35mm, as ever, sort of became, you know, the dominant sort of film format for the masses. But Pentax went ahead and built this mini SLR, and it is a proper SLR. It has a mirror that snaps out of the way. When you look through the little viewfinder, you are looking directly through these tiny little lenses that fix on the front as a mount. You turn the lens to focus it. There's one of those little prisms on the viewfinder, so you can tell what's in focus. It's fully automatic. As far as I understand from reading the manual and whatever's on the web, it uses two different apertures and various shutter speeds from 1 second up to, I think it goes up to a 500th or a 750th of a second, so quite fast. And it runs off a couple of LR44 batteries, which luckily, or SR44s, are the same ones that are in the Olympus OMN2. Or OM2N. So I whipped them out, put it in, and I'm pretty sure, well, I know basically it works, because when you wind the lever on, you can fire the shutter and the mirror flips up and it does that. And also, when you press the shutter button down, the little LED that can come on, and if it's yellow, it means that it's too dark, and then if it's green, it means it's okay to take a picture. So I know that works. I've also got with it a little flash unit which screws onto the top, which I need a couple of AAA batteries, which I'll probably get some over the next couple of days. And I also, and the one I've got, it came with the 24mm f2.8 lens on it, which is you double the focal length for this, so it's like a 48mm, which means it's like a standard lens, you know. But I also got the, so it's getting it, they're amazing, these, they're like thimbles, these little lenses. Also got the 18mm 2.8 lens as well, which is obviously the wide angle lens. They complete with a little back cap and it comes in a little box. I mean, I don't know, actually there might be a receipt. I'm just trying to see what's going on. Oh, here we go. Aha, okay, so the guy bought this lens from Crew Camera Exchange Limited, where part exchange is welcome, cameras bought for cash. And the guy who bought it was a guy called J.F. Moyer, M-O-I-R, who lived in Greenford, Middlesex. Oh, used to work to the Woolworths at Greenford a couple of times. On the 26th of the 7th, 1993. So that's, what's that, 28 years ago. Is that 28, 10, 18 years ago, sorry. Oh, it's not that long ago then, but even then, in 1993, for the Pentax 110 18mm lens, the f2.8, he paid £29 for it, gosh, which was quite a lot. It was second hand, so we got a 6 month guarantee for it. But he may have bought it mail order, because it looks like he paid £29 for the lens and £3.50 maybe postage and packaging, and he paid by Visa. Wow, gosh, it's always nice when you get a little bit of history with the camera as well. Isn't that fantastic? So yeah. So you're still, I mean, you must have been using the camera then in the 90s to bother buying the 18mm lens for it as well. Isn't that cool? The lady actually who I bought it off said that the camera belonged to her mother, and she was quite old. She must have been in her 50s and her 60s. And she said that she kept it in a handbag and would just whip it out to take photographs at opportune moments. And the idea is, you know, the little that I've read on the net this evening after work is that people, you know, it'd say that it is a great, great little camera. And there is a Flickr group for the Pentax Auto 110, which, funnily enough, was made by, looks like it was started by Mike Grasso, who does the film photography podcast as well. So that's quite funny, so I have to send him an email. There's two versions of the Auto 110. The Auto 110 that I've got, the Auto 110 Super. And the 110 Super, I think, adds a slightly different winder. You only have to turn the winder once to wind the film on. I think it has a shutter delay button as well. Slightly different something else. But it takes the same lenses. And I think, overall, there's about six lenses that are available for it. The 24mm, the 18mm, there's a 50mm telephoto, 18mm pancake, I think, and there's this zoom as well they did. But they're obviously, you can imagine, apart from the kit lenses that came with the camera, the rest is ultra rare. So I've got the 24mm that's on it. I've got the 18mm in this little clear thing. But also, I've got the flash as well. I've got the instructions, a little leather case as well. But I also got a little close-up filter, which is tiny. God, these things are tiny. If you saw this at a car boot, honestly, I knew what it was. What happened was, we were going past the stall and it was starting to rain, and I looked down and I saw a little packet. A little packet said Gossen on it. And for the listeners to the film photography podcast, you know that one of the things that the kind of sound effects that they use all the time there is they'll go Gossen Luna Pro F, which was the light meter that Mike Grasso was told to use by one of his instructors when he was at film college. And I saw Gossen, and straight in my head it just went, I just heard the word Gossen Luna Pro F. So I knew it was probably a light meter. So I opened it up, and lo and behold, this isn't a Luna Pro, it's a Gossen BISX2 light meter, in great condition, looks brand new, doesn't look like it's ever been used. A quick read of the instructions means it shows me that it's not only a reflective light meter, so you can just sort of stand there and point at your subject to get a reading, but it's also an incident light meter when you bring the little cover across. Oh, I've just managed to take the something just fallen off the top of it. Oh, it's got like a cover. Oh, what has that happened? Oh, it's snapped back on again now. Oh, I think it's just a cover that goes on. So anyway, so that caught my eye. And then as I moved it, I saw this little Pentax camera. And honestly, you would think that it was a toy. You would look at it and think, it's not a real camera. It's so small. You know, it's just something you would hang off a keyring and you wouldn't give a second thought. And if you saw these lenses as well, you would think, gosh, they're just toys, but they're not. Keep your eyes open at any car boot sales, thrift stores. If you see a little tiny camera that has Auto 110 on it, Auto 110 Super, snap it up. Now, I don't think, now, I'm probably wrong about this, but I'm not sure where you can get new 110 film from. You probably can. I haven't done much research. Probably the Lomography people sell it, because I know they still sell 110 cameras, and I think 110 cameras are still made in China and stuff like that. But luckily, I've got some old 110 film, all sealed up, and it's Click film. People in the UK might remember Click for. Here we go. There goes one of the clocks. Click for developing. Now it's 11 years out of date, this film, so I don't know if it's going to work. But I'm going to shoot off a couple of. I think I've got three rolls, so I'll probably shoot them all off, using various lenses of various subjects, and then send them off, and get them developed. But I'm really looking forward to using it. It's a great little camera. A really cute little thing. It's even got like a little hand strap and a little lens cover, which I'm just popping on now. So there we go. Really excited. The Pentax Auto 110. Fantastic condition. Keep an eye out for one near you. Let's see. The thing is, I know that the picture quality is going to be really rubbish, because 110 is renowned for having, you know, rubbish quality pictures. And the fact that the film is 6 years out of date, and I don't know how the film was stored. It's probably stored in an oven or something like that, but it's fun trying new things, isn't it, and seeing how different cameras make you see the world in slightly different ways. Okay, but before we move on, a word from our sponsors, who are of course GoToMeeting, and a quick drink of Sprite. Oh, that's better. GoToMeeting is a conference call software that is incredibly easy to use. So if your company does conference calls, whether it be with sales teams, management teams, maybe you do sales or conference calls with people all over the country and all over the world, maybe it's with potential clients. We all know that when you talk on the phone, it isn't the best way. People lose interest very, very quickly. And with GoToMeeting, what you used to be able to do was show people what was on your screen as you were talking to them. So you could see the figures, you could see the sales charts, you could see the schematics for that new building. But what they've added with HD faces is the ability to have video conferencing call in high definition. I think it's with up to six people as well, all at once. So not only can you talk to people over the internet, you can actually, not only can they see what's on your desktop, so you can show them all the dynamic things you're working on, but you can also see their faces and you can all talk backwards and forwards, and it makes meetings incredibly productive because it's just like you were there in person without all those costs involved, without all the transport costs, without all the labor costs, without all the wasted time before and after the meeting traveling to these places. And best of all, it's incredibly easy. You just set up a meeting, send people the link, they go to GoToMeeting, they click on put the ID in, I'll click on the link, and that's it. And then after a few seconds, you're in there having a high definition of video conferencing call. But you really need to try it for free. So what I'd like you to do is, if you think your company might be interested, they can try it for free for 30 days. All you've got to do, visit the URL, gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and enter the code podcast. So visit the URL, gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and enter the promo code podcast. Try it free for 30 days, and I'm sure you'll become a subscriber. Right, let's have a quick look before we end the podcast at these photos. So the idea was in August 2011, we restarted the idea of having a monthly photo assignment to whet our photographic appetites and maybe get us out there shooting things when we normally wouldn't. So I thought we'd start it off
with quite a wide open assignment, which was basically just taken during my break. So just go out there at a time when normally you wouldn't have your camera with me and you wouldn't go out taking photographs and do some shooting. No subject, anything you want, whatever camera you wanted to as well. I was really prompted by Joe, or Eka Joe, as the, or Essa Joe, sorry Joe if I'm saying it wrong, over on Flickr, who reminded me of the fact that we hadn't done one of these for a long time and it's a good idea to get it started. So, scrolling through the group, oh, and this group is over on Flickr. If anybody listens to the podcast and hasn't joined Flickr yet, come on, you might as well do it. It's free to join Flickr. There's a great community over there. It enables you to upload your images and share them with everybody else for free. And you can come on over and join the robnumphoto.com Flickr group. If you want to find it, just go to robnumphoto.com, robnunnphoto.com. And on the right hand side, scroll down a bit and I think you'll see a thing, you'll see a link that says something like join our Flickr group. Click on it, it'll bring you over, join Flickr, and then you can post photos in the group pool and you can take part in discussions, ask questions, all that sort of cool funky stuff, all for free. And if you want to, what you can then do is for, I think it's $24.99 US dollars a year, you can become a pro subscriber, and that means you can upload as many photos as you want, because as a free account you're limited to 200, and you can have more groups and things like that, and it's generally well worth it. So let's have a look. So who did well? I think I posted the first photo, which was a photo of our local cafe, which is about four doors up from where my job is at Machine Mart, Pam's Cafe. And Pam's Cafe is in the UK we call them a greasy spoon, so it specialises in things like cooked full English breakfasts, so bacon, eggs, fried bread, mushrooms, tomatoes, all that sort of business, but they also do roast dinners and all sorts of stuff. It's a typical English cafe, nothing like a French cafe. The English cafes are a different way. And I took that on my phone, on my HTC Desire. And then I use the software called Vignette, which is a great little app that enables you to add various effects from black and white. And what I ended up, I think what I added was a toy camera effect, which is a little bit, it has a little bit of a tone to it, a little bit of a warm tone, adds a little bit of a vignette, and yeah, it's quite nice. So it's a really easy thing to do. Next up, we then have a shot from Joe, which is of a, what was he put? This is from a private airfield near my workplace, and so it's like a it's a HDR of airfield. There's a aeroplane which looks like it's got very long grass growing underneath it. And what Joe's added here is HDR, high dynamic range photography. So what that means is you can see all the detail in the clouds, you can see all the detail in the shadows, in the trees, and all that sort of stuff. So it's a really dynamic photo with very vibrant colours, and it's really nice, nice strong subject with the aeroplane. Unusual to see as well, for the fact that the grass is really long around the aeroplane. Unless it's coming, I don't know, is it coming into land or something, and the grass is being kicked up? No, I don't think, I think the aeroplane's been there a while and the grass has grown up around it. But yeah, that looks like a really cool place to shoot if you could get there when they were taking off and doing stuff. And then Joe's added another one, which is a load of balls. These could be gumballs, I think, in a gumball machine, and it has a hint of tone mapping to me about it, and the fact that it's got that colour popping look of HDR. And I particularly like, actually, maybe Joe, maybe you have to send me an email about this, he's cropped it and then added like a drop shadow as well, so it really stands out on the Flickr page. Oh yeah, I really like that. Nice photo, lots of colours, and it shows you that, you know, yeah, there's lots of cliches in photography, isn't there, but lots of them are true. One of the ones that people talk about often is the fact that no matter where you are, within 20 feet there's probably several dozen great photographs if you just look hard enough, if you just choose a really unusual angle. Next we're down to PC Hugs, who's taken a picture of a little, I guess it could be a duckling, some sort of baby bird that's wandering around in the grass. Great opportunity shot there. Got nice and close as well. I don't know what camera this photo was taken with, but normally these little critters can be quite skittish, And if they're with their mums, which this one should be because it does look very small, the mums can be very defensive as well. I know I've been around some swans when they've had cygnets with them, and it's not a safe place to be. You've normally got to get away because the swans don't like it and will come and attack you. So great effort there from PC Hugs. Nice picture. Great the fact that you took that during your break at some time when you probably wouldn't have captured it. Then another one, which was taken earlier in the spring, and I like this one. This is of the Vonage campus, and it's a view down a path. It looks like it's at the edge of a car park. There's some cars on the right towards a building, and on the left we've got a row of trees receding into the distance. It would be really interesting to revisit that location in the winter, maybe when there was frost or snow on those trees. Or maybe, you know, we're getting into autumn, aren't we? We're getting into fall now. So, you know, as the foliage on those trees would start to turn, and maybe if you could catch it in the morning or the evening light with sort of golden light hitting the foliage as it's different colours, just to bring out that. But yeah, really good. I like the leading lines and the way it zooms away. Here's another one from me. You could tell I was kind of, this one is it's a picture of a roller, a paint roller, on a wall held in place by some cable. I kind of like the form, I guess, and I get a black and white picture. Let's move on quickly from that one. And it's another one. Now, it's funny. My mobile phone, my HTC DSLR, has a 5 megapixel camera, and on a nice day, it takes a really nice photo. And that is just a picture outside of the shop that I run, Machine Mart, in Copner, in North End, in Portsmouth. And you can see Glenn, the assistant manager's motorbike, in the foreground. And I don't know, I just like the view because you've got Machine Mart receding away and you've got the bollards receding away on the right-hand side. There's some trees. You've got the red of the shop front and you've got the blue of the sky. It probably doesn't mean anything to anybody else, but I guess it means something to me because I work there. And then we've got one from Joe again. This one was from a break from yard work. I guess that counts. Sure it does. Here are some baby robins from a nest under my deck. Wow, and Joe's got, you know, here we've got another, I guess it's a tone mat effect as well, with another nice frame around it. And we've got these baby gossips. How many is there? There's one. I can see two, but the detail is great. It's nice and sharp. They're nice and big. You know, there's the old saying from Kappa, wasn't there, if your photos aren't good enough, you're not close enough. And Joe's really showing us there to make your photos more impactful, get, you know, fill the frame with your subject. Very, very nice indeed. It's almost like a monochrome photo, like the saturation's been reduced in the photo, but there is colour there to attract the eyes, and the eyes on the little birds are very sharp as well, especially the larger one on the right. And whenever you're doing any sort of photography, it's always good to get the eyes sharp, whether it be wild animals or people. Then Joe's got another one. This one's looks like he's taken this from inside a car window, I guess, looking towards a car wash. And so the water that's running down the window of the car has distorted the image. Really unusual, that. Yeah, very nice. Makes what might otherwise be ordinary shot into a very interesting one. He's converted it to black and white by the look of it. Yeah, it looks really nice. Never really think to take a photograph through windows when it's raining. Or, you know, as soon as it's raining, half the time we just put our cameras away, don't we? But this just goes to show that even when the weather's bad, maybe take some photos from inside. And then to finish it off, we've got a picture of a snake from Gneil 45. I knew it may be under the sheet as I saw one the week before. On a break this time, I checked again with my iPhone at the ready. Ooh, gosh. Very good. I tell you what, these iPhones have got great cameras on them, haven't they? That is very, very nice indeed. Loads of great detail in the snake. It's basking in the warm sun. Yeah, really good. Great opportunist shot. Again, it's going back somewhere, isn't it, where you knew that there was a photo opportunity, taking a camera back, taking a picture, and then showing everybody. Really, really nice. I don't know. I don't know how big this snake is or what it is. You know, is it a small grass snake or is it something a little bit bigger and a little bit more dangerous? In fact, let me click through on the photo. Let's see if there's any other data when we go through there. If he shared it. Oh, grass snake. The title of the photo is grass snake. So I guess we can say it's probably safe and wasn't going to bite us and and do anything nasty. Grass snake. Edited with 100 cameras app. Very good. Very impressive, isn't it? You know, I think pretty soon over the next couple of years there's going to be a situation where these cameras in our phones are definitely going to be as good as or close to the quality you get compact cameras, and they'll only really be limited by the lenses they put on them as to for things like focal length and stuff. But that really is very, very good at all. And one thing I love about taking photos with my phone is the apps. You know, with iPhone there's loads of different ones, with Android there's loads of different ones, and I'm sure with Windows Mobile there's different ones as well. So you can take a photo and then, you know, turn it into black and white, turn it into sepia, add vignettes, do all that sort of funky stuff that way as well. So there we go. Thanks everybody for taking part in last month's photo assignment. Good stuff. Now, I thought for this month the photo assignment could be in my town. I think I did one of these a couple of years ago. But as one of my projects for 2011, which I've got to get on with, is a project called Photos Taken Around Gosport. Gosport is my hometown. I thought maybe for this month we could take pictures in our hometown. So it doesn't matter what you take, as long as somehow the photograph relates to your hometown. You might live in the country, so it might be around the immediate places where you live. You might be a city, so it might be anywhere. You know, if your hometown is London or New York, you've got all that to play with. I've got Gosport to play with that way. So yeah, I'll put a sticky thread up on the Flickr group, and then we can all crack on. And I'll put links to these photos in the show notes as well. So if you go over to robnumphoto.com over a couple of days, you should see the show notes there. I've completed the review for the Nissin DI622 flash as well. So again, if you go over to robnumphoto.com, you'll see there's a video there which I've done, and some example photos. In conclusion, basically, if you've got a Canon or a Nikon camera and you're thinking about buying an external flash, the DI622 from Nissin is very, very good indeed. The fact that it can act as a slave using your pop-up camera flash was a real deal maker for me. I thought that was very, very impressive. You know, you didn't have to buy any other command units or pocket widgets or anything like that. Just pop the camera off, pop the flash off the camera, put it somewhere, where as long as the flash can see your camera, and then just fire your camera, and then the pop-up flash on your camera triggers the other one, and it knows that it's a digital camera, so it doesn't fire on the first flash, it fires on the second, and it works very, very well. And the build quality of the flash impressed me as well. So I'll put the links to that review as well up on the show notes at robnumphoto.com. Well, that's about it for this week. Thanks to everybody for taking part in the Flickr group, and for posting comments over on robnunphoto.com. Thanks to everybody for their support for the website, the Flickr group, and the podcast. And I just hope pretty soon I'll be seeing you on Flickr.